Thank you for downloading the Elohim Church podcast. In June 2014, we held our Woman by Design Ladies Conference at the Hub in Barlston. Each session is available as a separate podcast. This is session two, Girls with Swords. Message brought by me, Hazel Mears.
Well, next we've got the lovely, awesome, amazing, gorgeous, fun Hazel, and we're really blessed. Hazel, we want to welcome you. This is Mrs. IT.
Yeah,
she's going to be twittering and do. Oh,
sorry about
that's
that.
Cool.
They're my kids being IT geeks.
Yeah. This is the IT geek family who do all the stuff.
Mm.
And you're welcome.
Thank you.
We love you.
Thank you.
And you're awesome.
Ah!
Oh, right. Anyway, just before I start, I wanted to show you the Elohim Church Twitter feed, because you'll notice here that Pastor Shane has bigged up the Women by Design. Ladies, don't miss out on Women by Design today at Elohim Church. Going to be a fabulous time. And then he's used hashtags to highlight girls with swords and cake.
Whoa.
So even Pastor Shane knows that cake is important to us women.
Nice.
So there you go. And then you'll notice that his next one is on about Yorkshire, for a change. Anyway, right, girls with swords. Ooh, that's an exciting topic. Let me just see if I can get the tech to work.
Yay.
Nearly. Come on, you're supposed to be playing now, you doofus. Not giving away the... Right, play. Play. There you go. Girls with swords. Okay, we're going to start off by... Can you all look under your seats? Two of you will find that picture. If you have, I'd like you to stand up. Now, just to give you a bit of an insight on this. There's one, there's another one. I can't remember where they are, by the way. I asked Ewan to pray around the seats this morning, and I asked him to identify the seats that he felt I should put one of these on. I didn't tell him why, and obviously he's five, so there's no bias. There might be one on this table, one of these two tables here. Could we? Oh, here we go. Right. If you have one of those pictures,
don't be afraid.
It means that you can have a book. Okay, so you can have the Girls with Swords book, How to Carry Your Cross Like a Hero. Yay! So there you go. So I really believe that God's identified those people specifically. There is a chance for somebody else to get one later, and it's available in all good bookstops. Lisa Bevere, wife of John Bevere, is an awesome woman. Some of you may remember we did the Honours Reward curriculum last year, which was life-changing. Girls with Swords is also life-changing, and there's no way that I can bring the entire book in 45 minutes, so I'm going to concentrate on the first chapter. This is just an overview of how God equips his daughters. So, girl with sword. I love that picture because it's the bride of Christ stood there with her sword. Now, we can't see her head. We don't know what she looks like, but already she looks pretty menacing, I think. So I quite like her. So, you won't be able to read that. I'll read it to you. Whether you realize it or not, you are part of an epic battle, and God does not want his daughters unarmed or caught unaware. As I stand before you now, some of you might think I look pretty scary. Maybe. Mia, could I borrow you a minute? I'm sorry, I didn't warn you on this. Sorry. And Helen, can you come out as well? Come here. Now, there are certain people who you would look at and you think, oh, they're a bit scary. Now, Mia's a little bit scary because she's taller than me. And Helen as well. Helen, come on. Helen is also a little bit scary because she's also taller than me. As Mia stands there, you think, here is a gorgeous woman of God.
Yes.
Anointed, purposed.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, Mia, if I give you this sword here, you hold that, okay. It's heavy, I warn you. Now, I'm terrified of her now. As Mia stands here, the world might look at her and say, oh, well, you know, she's a bit timid. You give her that sword, she's not timid.
No.
She is not timid. Helen, can I give you this one? Because you can draw it. Try not to take Mia's head off. Give Helen a sword. Yes. Now, I want these girls on my team. If I'm facing anything, I want these two with me. Thank you very much, ladies. That was just a bit of an illustration. Thank you very much. Thank you. So, anyway, God doesn't want his daughters to be unequipped, and he doesn't want us to be unprepared. So, he prepares us, he equips us. From the moment that we became Christians, we became a target. If no one else could see a difference in you when you gave your life to Christ, the devil could. Christian means anointed one. You've been marked with God's Spirit, and that makes you a target. But you don't need to be scared. We all face battles in our everyday life. Stress, sickness, problems with relationships. The enemy will use everything that he can to get in the way of you walking into the anointing that has been placed on your life. So some might say, well, I believe in God, my Heavenly Father. If he loves me, why would I be hit with all this stuff? Well, we're going to look at that, but it starts from this very slide that whether you realize it or not, you are part of that epic battle. But God does not want his daughters to be unarmed, so he makes us warriors. Now, Lisa Bevere, if you've not heard her talk, is Charlene with an American accent.
Yeah.
So if I was, it's really difficult having, I've been listening to the curriculum over and over again in the car. And she's, I don't know how old she is, but she's awesome.
In her 40s.
Actually, I think she's 50 because it's her birthday. But she doesn't look it. Look at this. Honestly, she's blooming amazing. Anyway, so she gets really excited and passionate, and she tells the story of when she was coming back from England. She'd been on a conference. She was shattered, and she just wanted to go home and go to bed. And anyway, she's absolutely exhausted. She gets in, and her husband sticks someone on the phone to her, which is like the last thing that she wanted. But through that, God brought her a reassurance of why she had written the book she'd just done, Lioness Arising, and also why she was coming on to write Girls with Swords. And she talks about a time she was sat with her youngest son, and they were watching a film. She says, what are we watching? Terminator. Now, if any of you have seen Terminator, you don't need to confess, it's okay. Now, it's not a Christian film by any stretch of the imagination. However, there is a lesson in there, which I'm just going to bring to you with not quite so much excitement as Lisa Bevere. The Terminator is a film about a waitress called Sarah Connor, who, she's a waitress. She serves coffee during the day. At night, she goes out hoping that one of the blind dates that she's been on is going to be the one. Anyway, this guy turns up from the future, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and he is going through systematically killing all of the Sarah Connors in the phone book. She hears about this at work, thinks, it's not good. I'm going to go to a bar. So off she goes to a bar. And while she's in there, Arnie turns up, big fight, guns going everywhere. Anyway, the same time as her assassin from the future comes back to get her, her protector from the future comes back, a guy called Kyle Reese, for those of you who are film buffs. And he comes in and he goes up to Sarah and says, come with me if you want to live. So she goes, okay, I'm going to live. So they go, and there's a big car chase, and it's, you know, 1980s graphics, and there's things spinning off, exploding. Arnold Schwarzenegger's going around on a motorbike. Anyway, all the time they're in this car, her protector is telling Sarah that she is a hero, that in the future she is a woman whose son saves the human race, basically. And she's saying, well, this is ridiculous. I don't have a boyfriend, yet alone a son. He's saying, no, no, you must understand. See this picture. This is you and your son. No, no, you've got the wrong person. It can't be me. And the more he tells her about how she is this hero, she stands up. Well, she doesn't stand up. She's in the car. And she says, but I haven't done anything. Her protector says, no, but you will. The enemy knows who we are long before we realize who we are. The attacks on your life up until this point have more to do with who you might be in the future than who you have been in the past. Get more organised, Hazel. There's something in you that the enemy is terrified of. He's terrified it could come out at any moment. There's a gift. There's a promise. There's a talent. The two things that Sarah Connor learnt that night in the car, number one, that she was a target. And number two, that she just might be a hero. Might be. Because it's your choice. You might choose to opt out. You are a target. You might be a hero. I say might be because the choice is ultimately yours. The battle that we face is between good and evil. It's bigger than we can fight individually. But it's actually not our battle. The battle belongs to the Lord. We have a choice. We can lie down, fold in on ourselves, stick our head in the sand, our fingers in our ears and go, la, 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 I'm not listening. Or we can stand up, and this is where I need to channel my inner Lisa Bevere. You can stand up, throw your shoulders back, get a little attitude and say, no, I want to stand alongside my brothers and sisters and fight and make this as a declaration. Lovely one, that's us. No longer think of yourself as targeted. You were first chosen to be a sword lifted in his hand. Live like a hero and you will strike a sure blow to the enemy and captives will be set free. I would encourage each one of you to pick up one of these swords, because when you pick this sword up, you can't help but go, I'm going to get you. It's awesome. You should all have a go. God didn't give you a little sword. I found this in Rita's drawer this morning. I thought that's epic. So he didn't equip you with this for you to like go up and bop somebody. He gave you this. So you're probably all thinking, okay, where's my metalware? No, you don't have metalware. Those of you who know Ephesians 6 will know that the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. God doesn't want us to be unarmed, so he gives us the whole armour. The breastplate of salvation, no, the breastplate of righteousness, get it right. The gospel of peace on our feet, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. Ephesians 6:17 in the New King James Version, just for Pastor Lynn, says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, before we look at something fun that you can do with God's word, punctuation is a wonderful thing. Those of you who know me will know that I have a real issue with apostrophes, and particularly possessive apostrophes. And when we were at Centre Parks, there was a chalkboard in the villa, and we came back and the cleaner had written, welcome to Centre Park apostrophe S. My heckles went. My 9-year-old daughter walked in and went, Mum, look at that apostrophe, and rubbed it out. I was so proud. Anyway, you can have great fun with punctuation, and this is something that always makes me laugh. Let's eat, Grandma! Let's eat, Grandma. Punctuation saves lives. But punctuation can also be used to make a very good point. God's word can become faster. A God sword.
Come on.
I like that. I was quite impressed with that. Lost my place. Ephesians 1 verse 4 says that God chose us before the foundations of the earth. But what we need to do is make a conscious decision to choose him, and therefore to choose to accept that weapon that he gives us, his word, the God sword. Ephesians 1:11-14, again in the New King James Version, says, in him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise and his glory. In him you are also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, to the praise of his glory. God chose you.
Yes.
God chose me Everyone say, God chose me.
God chose me.
Now say it like you think you mean it. God chose me. Yes. God has a purpose for your life. Christian is not an afterlife destination. It's not about where you go when you die. That bit settled. That hit me like a boulder. What matters is once you were born again, how do you choose to live? We need to live intentionally to nurture the spiritual seed in our life. So when we came to Christ, we received the Holy Spirit. We received the Spirit of God. So therefore, the spirit of a warrior resides within you.
Yeah.
So we need to live by the power of the sword of the Spirit. We've been gifted with the language of heaven. We have to adopt the power of God. As we study his word, he will quicken those scriptures to us. We are his daughters, ready to have a sword put in our hands. So how do we use that sword? As Satan strikes with a distortion of the truth, we counter with a declaration of truth. So many of us know catchphrases from the Bible, John 3:16. But we don't know the depth of the world. You know, if I asked you to name a scripture now, you could all probably rattle one off. That's great, but the thing about catchphrases is they won't catch you in the time of trouble. They're snappy, but they are just that, they're catchphrases. What we need is people who will declare the word, who don't dumb down the word of God. If we are to be entrusted and equipped with the word of God, we need to be girls empowered with the word of God, girls with swords. When we yield ourselves to speak his words by the power of his spirit, astonishing things can happen. Joshua 1, verses 7 to 9 says, "Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave to you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the left or to the right. Then you will be successful in everything you do." Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so that you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The New King James words it slightly differently. It says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night." So we need to get into the word. We need to write down the word of God, and we need to start speaking it. As we speak it out, it becomes our word. It's not just enough to read it. It says in the Bible, we recite our verses for the king. The word that goes forth, he watches over it, and it does not return void. So shall my word, this is Isaiah 55, this is the Amplified version for Charlene this time. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void without producing any effect or useless. It shall accomplish which I please and purpose. It shall prosper in the thing which I sent it out. So when we speak out the word of God, it assures us in the word of God that that word does not go out and come back pointless. We speak it out for a reason. Jared Cooper, another great man of God, bought a word called the Seven Secrets of Strength. Easy for you to say. And one of the ideas he brings is to be a mutterer. When you're having a bad moment at work, go for a little walk off to the loo or whatever and mutter scripture to yourself. Psalm 91, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and fortress. My God, in him I will trust." People might think you've gone mad, but it doesn't matter. Because when your head starts to go into that pace of, "Oh, I can't go with this anymore." No, cut it off. You counter it. As Satan strikes with a distraction, a distortion of the truth, you counter him with a declaration of truth. So when you're at work or in the shops or whatever and you're thinking, "I can't do this," hang on a minute, you're awesome. You are a girl equipped with an eternal sword of God. You are not useless. You are awesome. Ooh, so there you go. He is my refuge and fortress. In my God will I trust. When Jesus was in the desert, he was tempted by Satan. So what did he do? He countered Satan with the word of God. We're all facing stuff in our lives, but there is guidance in his word. He's given us everything that we need. Lisa Bevere shares a testimony about when she first became a Christian and she had her first Bible, that her husband would get her to stand up and read it out loud. If you're anything like me, I'm not as fast a reader as Pastor Lynn, but I could read my notes for today's word in about 10 minutes. If I read them out loud to you, it's going to take longer because I've got to think about them. I've got to think about tone. I've got to think about intonation. I've got to think about how to speak. If you, apostrophes, always, that's a very good point, Pastor Ruth, thank you for that. You've got to think about what you're saying. It also makes us slow down. You might look a bit silly. You might think you look a bit silly. But if you stand up and you hold your word, in the word of God in your hand, and you read it out, it's going in. You're not just skimming over it, going, yeah, says that, that's good, isn't it? You're thinking about it. It'll start to sink in. As you study that word, you write it down, you speak it out. You're speaking it into being. You're speaking it into here. And that's what we mean about God quickening those scriptures to you. There's a passage, I think it's in Matthew, where Jesus is in the room with the disciples and he says, I'm with you always. And they're like, yeah, you're there. That's great. And then he goes, and in the curriculum, Lisa's like, where did you go? You did this and you were here. That's when they got, I am with you always. When he said it when they were there, it didn't mean anything. When he'd gone, yeah, he's with us always. How many of you remember sword drills at Sunday school? Awesome. Yeah. So for those of you who weren't lucky enough to be brought up in the Church of England and do a sword drill, the sword drill involved you, or Baptist, to have your Bible. So who's got their Bible? Can you hold yours? Okay. So the first instruction would be to sheath your sword. You'd put your sword under your arm. I know. Well, I'm only illustrating. That's true. I won't win the book. Then it was to draw the sword. Then the Sunday school teacher would read out a scripture, shout charge, and you'd have to find it. And the first person to find it, or mine did, she was mad, but lovely. Awesome. And then you had to find it. So I'm afraid if you've got an iPhone or an iPad, you can't use it today. But if you've got a Bible, we're going to do a sword drill. Now, no pressure, but the first person to find this, stand up and you win the book. Okay. The girls with swords books. So, if you've got a Bible, could you please sheath your sword? Yes. Draw your swords. The scripture that I'm giving you that has no relevance to anything that we are talking about today, however, it makes me laugh every time I hear it, is 2 Kings chapter 2. Wait, I haven't told you to charge yet. 2 Kings, chapter 2, verse 23. Charge! Oh, it's exciting. Oh, Tanya Veery. Just give her a minute. This is one of my favourite verses in Scripture. Tanya, would you read it, please?
I hope I've got it right. Verse 23.
Yes.
He went up from Jericho to...
23.
To Bethel. On the way, young, maturing and accountable boys came out of the city and mocked him and said to him, go up in a whirlwind, you bald head. Go up, you bald head.
Yes, the reason I find that funny, there was a band when I was growing up called Fat and Frantic, and they wrote a song called The Bold Man's Revenge. And essentially, Elisha was, he was walking down the road and some youths came out and mocked him and called him baldy. So... he turned around and he called a curse on them and bears came out and ate them. So there you go. Never mock bold people for that reason. Anyway, thank you for that. So Tanya, you win Girls with Swords. Okay. Yay! Awesome. So thank you for that. Thank you for taking part, and well done to those who didn't cheat at the back. Many of us carry our Bibles in our back pockets, on our phone, on our iPads. It's on the internet now. Now, in Bible times, they didn't have a full scripture all the time. It was all done by word of mouth. Yeah. So the word sunk in. They knew it. They could speak it out. How many times in the Bible do you read where somebody goes, oh, it says that in scripture? Yeah, it does, because they were speaking it out all the time. They knew it. You are the daughter of a warrior whose eternal creative word in your mouth is a living, invincible sword in your hand. Don't forget to use your weapon. Swords are spoken of all through the Bible, right from Genesis, where the cherubim stands guard at the Garden of Eden with a flaming sword, right through to Revelation 19, when it talks about how out of his mouth comes a sharp sword. It says in Revelation that he will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God, and his robe has written on it. No, and he has on his robe and on his thigh a name is written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Beginning and end, swords are the bookends of our history. But we are not to judge using the sword, and we are not to stand guard over a garden with the sword. We need to identify what our sword is. It is the sword of the Spirit. Ephesians 6 says the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. The word of God is alive. It contains everything: wisdom, encouragement, direction, correction, teaching. What happens to you if you shout rude things at bold men? We need to get into it. We need to get up close and personal with the word of God. It will teach you, it will strengthen you, and it will cut away all that you don't need in your life. So we need to have a solid word, a solid knowledge of the word of God. We need to read scriptures that we don't like. Oh, we need to read scriptures that challenge us. It's okay to read the Bible and say, I don't have a clue what that means. Because you go back and look at it again, you get alongside other people. There is so much in the Word of God that I don't get, but I know I've got access to at least 10 people in this room who will know. That's how we sharpen our swords. We row up against each other. Iron sharpens iron. Read the stuff that you think, I haven't got a clue. But let the mystery of the scripture wash over you. Take it away, get alongside somebody, speak about it, and you'll get it. And that will become another weapon in your arsenal. Everyone's got their favourite bits of scriptures. I've already shared mine with you. Lisa Bevere says she hates the book of James. Possibly a little bit harsh, maybe, but she still knows it. She still reads it. She still speaks it out. Very challenging, says ouch. James, ironically, she says after that, James 1, 22 to 25 in the New Living says, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourself. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. As Lisa Bevere was meditating on this word, the Spirit spoke to her and said this, and I've written it down, so I'm going to read it. Please forgive me. Far too many factions of Christ's body wield only pieces and fragments of the word, and no longer lift up his word in its entirety as a whole sword. Hardship, economic, natural disasters, relationship breaches, betrayals are all going to come on the earth, and he will use these pressures to begin to reforge a sword. Far too many of us can do catchphrases. They pick a bit of scripture that they like and will camp on it. But God didn't only give us the catchphrases, the snippets. If I had this sword, but I only had the handle, I can't do a lot with it. I could bludgeon somebody with it, but, you know, it's not going to help. If I had a blade, I'd just hurt myself. But when I've got the whole sword, I can take on anything. We need the entire sword of the word of God in its might and its power. The enemy is not frightened by me running at him with a handle. He's not frightened by a disjointed, divided church, but when we line up the pieces and join together and reforge this, God has entrusted us with the next slide. The sword entrusted to us is more than ancient. It is eternal. Our sword is not attached to an isolated victory. The word of our living God has proven itself true time and time again. Just let that sink in for a minute. The sword entrusted to us is more than ancient. It is eternal. Our sword is not attached to a single isolated victory. The word of our living God has proven itself true time and time again. We need the entire sword of the word of God. God has entrusted it with this. We need to use it to make history, not mark our past history. As you look at the cross on the wall, it's a sword shape. Okay, so you can say, oh, that's just a little glib thing. I don't care. It's a sword shape. It's there. It's an indication of what God has given to us. So what is Girls with Swords? It's when you rise up and you say, I live by the word of God. The word of God is my sword, and what I carry into my everyday life is how I set people free, deal with my own nonsense. It's what pierces my heart, and it's what heals my heart. It's what sets me free. It's what strengthens my relationship. What would happen if we all started to make small, strategic, intuitive moves to get into his word and say, Lord, have your way? God wants to bring victory into all of our lives. So it's time for us to get ready. We've seen this image before. It's incredibly striking as the bride of Christ gets her boots on, and I'm pretty sure she's got a sword lying on the floor as well. As I was praying about today and what God wanted to bring, I felt very strongly that there's four key areas that God wants us to wage war against in our lives. And so what I've done is I've collected a list of scriptures for you to take away and to speak over yourself. The four areas are finance, which is on the door, health, which is next to the hatch, direction, which is on the door. Anyone who gets the irony of that, 10 points to you. Identity at the back. There are four piles of paper near each station, except for that one because I haven't put it there yet. So I'll just move that and you'll never know. Amazing. The identity one, I've put that at the back deliberately because I want everybody to take one of those. The scriptures that are on the identity list are actually off a handout that Joyce Mayer produced. So they're not actual direct scriptures, but they've been interpreted slightly differently to be made as declarations. Now, last night in the Curry House, we were playing declaration roulette, where you get the scripture list, you close your eyes and you do that. So this one's going to be for Pastor Ruth. Pastor Ruth, you are holy and without blame before him in love. Wow, that's good, isn't it? It's amazing. So, and then it's got the Bible references for where that's taken from. So the identity scriptures have all been taken to literally be declarations. The others, they are the scriptures. You can speak them out. If you are confused by them or would like to talk about them, please do come and talk to one of the team. What I'd like us to do now is just have a couple of, perhaps 30 seconds, a minute, to just settle ourselves with God and ask which of these areas. It might be all of them. Go crazy. Take one of each one of them. But, in fact, do that anyway. But God wants to break stuff in your life today. Now, I've had a bit of a revelation about my finances in all of this. Angus and I have been hit with a bit of a surprise, shall we say, financially, just after we committed to go to Euro Disney next year. Anyway, through going through the scriptures, God really spoke to me about how he says, okay, everybody knows the go into the storehouse and test me on this. Yeah, that's great. But the other thing it says in the scripture is that we need to manage our finance in a way that gives glory to him. And God's really spoken to me about that, and the surprise that hit us shouldn't have been a surprise. We should have known about it. And if we'd been managing our scriptures in our finances in a way that gave honour to God, we'd have seen it coming. And God really spoke to me about that and says, yeah, you are going to see breakthrough. And we are, and I know we are, and I'm walking in that victory. But it's really hit me. And God's going to do something for you like that as well this morning. I genuinely believe we're going to see issues broken this morning. So take a minute, have a think about which of these stations you want to go to. If you would like someone to pray with you, if I could ask the ladies team to kind of disperse for ease. Faye, if you could stay near identity. Tracy, could you cover direction? Pastor Lynn, could you cover health? And Charlene, could you join me at finance? And we will pray for you if you want to be prayed for. Or you can stand there and you can shout at your piece of paper and make those declarations. First one on the finance. Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So yeah, thank you. Take a minute. I'm going to put some music on and let's just respond to that. Just want to add that as we speak out God's word, obviously we speak out very powerful words, and people may have been wrestling perhaps with a health issue, wrestling perhaps with a finance issue, an identity issue, a directional issue, and you've been praying about it and praying and praying and saying, why is God not answering my prayer? There's something very powerful about speaking out the word of God. And if you've been seeking God on one of these areas, that's where you need to be, because that's where the breakthrough is going to come through. Yes, you may have been praying about it for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, but this morning, by the speaking out of his word, God wants to break that. So if there is a particular area, be it your identity in Christ, who Christ says you are, direction doesn't just mean going off to outer Mongolia to speak his word. This is talking about direction in life. Direction in your ministry, direction in relationship, then that's where you need to be. Health, healing for yourself, for a loved one, for a friend. Finance for yourself, for a friend, for a business. Whatever it is that you're praying into, as we make those declarations, if there's an area that you've been really praying into, you need to be at that station.